Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, a place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Heroes of Our Faith, Overcoming and Conquering.
Chapter 11, verse 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll look at verse number 38 and 39. Hebrews 11, 1, 2, and 3, and then verse 38 and verse 39. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders attained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made by the things which do appear. Hebrews 11, verse 38 and verse 39. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now faith is the substance of. Now faith is the substance of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and earth. All these having attained a good report through faith. For a few moments, and I really don't have a few moments, but a few moments now, amen, my heart's desire is to get you to, amen, 4th of July celebration, your whole week of celebrating, if that's what you're doing, get you to your families, amen. But there is a word in this house, and I pray, amen, the word that, amen, the Lord has given me, that you can hear it, but most importantly, you can receive it, you can embrace it. Because we are in a life-changing moment. Somebody said to me, say, we are in a life-changing moment. Now say it like you believe it. We're in a life-changing moment. How many of you guys believe that God can change everything just like that? So he's taken us to the book of Hebrews that we would look at the heroes of our faith, that we would understand we're moving beyond mere survival. It's time for us to get out of survival mode. I'm just making it. I barely get by. Thank God I just made it through another week. It's time to get out of survival mode. And now it's time to get into overcoming mode. It's time to get into conquering mode. And Hebrews chapter number 11, specifically verse number 1, but also with a couple other scriptures that I'll use to preach in a topical manner. Amen. There's some things that God wants us to understand that is inclusive right here in the first part of Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is the substance of. And then it starts talking about how all of these, from Noah all the way to those that they would not name, and the person I'll look for later in the conclusion, I think I found him. Amen. It talked about them, and this is the thought that I got out of that is, these are of another substance. Everyone talked about in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, I sort of kind of narrowed it down that now I figure out how they operated. They were of another substance. They were of another substance. Father, now guide my hand, guide my heart. Speak through me, God. Make me an oracle of God. Let me speak your truth. Let me dispense it, God. Let me dispense it, God, and the backdrop in which it is, oh God, delivered. Amen. Some would say one writer, some would say another, but we know it was written by, amen, the Holy Spirit. So now speak to us, God, that spiritual formation will happen, Lord, that we would now become that which, oh God, you've destined us to be. God, speak now, Father, Lord, that in the community of believers, God, that we would now hear a word that not only, oh God, we could receive, but we could discuss, we could bounce off one another, that we could then become, oh God, imitators, oh God, of those that are perfect and upright, those that you've written in the hall of faith, God. Speak, Lord, now, Lord. Speak, Lord. And when you finish speaking, God, let me stop. God, let me end, Lord. And when we finish, God, let us now be another level of faith, God. You said faith comes by hearing, God, and hearing by the word of God. Speak and dispense your truth in this place, God, in a manner, Father, that you're glorified, in a manner that you lifted up, God, in a manner that devil tremble, Lord, in a manner, God, that the Holy Ghost is activated. Speak, Lord. Let us be changed, Lord. Through the speaking of the word today, Lord, let our life story now be included in history. And as you do it, we'll be careful to give you glory. We'll be careful to give you praise and honor. All God's people said amen and amen. Somebody say this with me. Say, these are of another substance. These are of another substance. This is lesson four in the series of the Heroes of Faith, Overcoming and Conquering. These are of another substance. The word substance is defined as the thing which a thing consists of, the actual matter of a thing opposed to the appearance or shadow. It is the reality. It is the essential. It is the substantial. It is the actuality. What are we really? Are we just mere flesh and blood? Or are we containers of the Holy Spirit? Are we ones that now walk by faith and not by sight? The word substance is what a thing really is. Come on, ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, what are you really? Sometimes we just are a shadow of what we really are. Sometimes we appear to be one thing, but that ain't really who we are. But today, amen, as we look at people in the book of Hebrews, they were of another substance, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. So we look at Hebrew, a book that the author is unknown. There's nothing that conclusively points to one person. Theologians have argued and given credit to Paul. They've given credit to Barnabas. They've given credit to Apollos, Luke, and a few others. One thing that we are sure of, more likely, it was probably Apostle Paul, but we won't argue that today. We know that it was written by the Holy Ghost. All scripture is inspired by God. Right, so we know the book was written by Hebrews. There was really no recipients named in the text, like Corinthians and Timothy. There's no one person or people that this book is specifically written to. However, in reading the words, it became clear that he was probably talking, amen, to Jewish believers, and especially Jewish believers that was continually contemplating going back. And we're not talking about going back to sin. We're talking about going back to Judaism and the different practices and the different sacrifices. And they had found a new living way in Christ, but the writer here is trying to urge them, don't go back. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't go back. It's easy to see that when you begin to read, and give me about 10, 15 minutes, I promise y'all, I'm done, all right? It's real clear that he's writing to these Jewish believers, and he's trying to convince them not to go back. And he does this by an overwhelming theme that jumps off the pages. And this overwhelming theme is Jesus Christ is superior / better above them all. Those that had come into Christ, he's trying to convince them, you have the better, the best, what you gonna go back to? If we really told the truth, it ain't nothing like being saved. I don't care how good of a time we had in the club, that was marred. Some foolishness always broke out. Somebody always stepped on your new shoes. Somebody always spilled a drink. Somebody always tried to hit on who you were with. So I don't care how you look at it, it ain't nothing like this thing called salvation. Was it Kirk that said, ain't nothing like a Holy Ghost party? Call a Holy Ghost party. Apostle Paul, in his own way, he's not doing it in that vernacular, but Apostle Paul, in his own way, he's trying to convince the Jewish believers not to go back because Christ is superior. Somebody said to me real loud, Christ is superior. He says, pull out your prophets and I'll show you Christ is superior. He says, pull out your Moses and the law and I'll show you he fulfilled all of the law. He's trying to show Christ is superior above the Levitical priests, even above Melchizedek, even above the Old Testament sacrifice, anything. And he even later on is going to get into the philosophers of his day, trying to let him know you can't bring out anything better than Christ. Have you been convinced yet? And I'm really talking to those that are young in their salvation. Have you been convinced yet that ain't nothing better than Jesus? You'll keep tipping until you find out the tipping ain't worth it. Can't nobody hold you like Jesus. Ah, God. Can't nobody comfort you like Jesus. Ain't nobody closer than Jesus. So he's writing to the Hebrews believers and he's trying to let them know Jesus Christ is superior, better, above all. He is the brightness of his glory. He's the express image of his person. He upholds all things by the word of his power. And he had himself purged our sin. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than dot, 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 dot. Tell your neighbor he's better than that. Jesus Christ, our high priest, our redeemer of the whole world. He's a savior to all of them that believe. And he was trying to convince them, the writer, and I won't be long, but I want to give you a proper backdrop, that Christ is better. Come on, tell your neighbor, in this season, be convinced. Be convinced ain't nothing better than Christ. And I know that's bad English, but that's good teaching. The world is off wandering after something. Y'all come a little bit close and please listen to me. The world is off wandering after something. I believe many folks, they looking for stuff they don't even know what they looking for. And they cannot find any satisfaction. They cannot find any peace. They cannot find anything that satisfied them. And I want to tell them, as the psalmist said many, many, many years ago, and Jason said it a few days in his new recording, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Parents, please hear me. We better begin to convince our children ain't nothing better than Jesus. Because see, their ceiling is... It's a little higher than ours. And they're getting stuff that we never got until we were old in life. And they're becoming dissatisfied real early. And they're finding out that PlayStation 4 don't satisfy, so they got to get another PlayStation. They're finding out that they get the new LeBron shoes, and a few weeks after they get dirty, they need some new fans. And they're finding out that a lot of stuff can't satisfy them. Please begin to teach your children. Nothing will satisfy you like Jesus. He will satisfy you. He will keep you. He will prosper you. He will make you level-headed. He will make you grateful. Apostle writing, I believe Paul in Hebrews, he's trying to convince them that Christ, the high priest, the redeemer of the whole world, he's savior to all them that believe. St. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This Jesus Christ that the writer is convincing us is a strong tower. If we run into him, we'll be safe. This Jesus Christ is a Christ that transforms minds. This Christ becomes a living waters in our belly, flowing out. This Jesus Christ, he makes our soul prepared for the afterlife. He's more than enough. And if I really didn't say anything else, that would be adequate today, because too many of us, under the sound of my voice, you can't get no satisfaction. and the Spirit of Christ is trying to echo real loudly today, your answer is found only in Jesus Christ, who is superior. This Jesus Christ, he transforms, he renews our minds, Romans 12:2. He becomes the living water that flows out of our bellies, or spirits, St. John 7:38. He makes our soul prepared for the afterlife, St. John 4:14. This Jesus Christ makes available for us to become ones of another substance. And this is what you got to get. And you can stay right there, son, because I'm almost done. This Jesus Christ makes available to us for us to become ones of another substance. It's not enough for us to read about Abraham. It's not enough for us to read about Noah. It's not enough for us to read about Enoch. At some point, it needs to come off the pages, and it need to become applicable principles in our lives so something will be recorded about us. This Jesus Christ makes available to us for us to become of another substance. Come on, somebody say it real loud. This Jesus Christ makes available to us for us to become of another substance. Give me a few moments. I'll prove it to you. And I'll be done. I'll go to my seat. In 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, if any man in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Now, behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus Christ makes available to us for us to become of another substance. The question becomes, will we go through the formation? I want to get ahead of myself. The question becomes, will we stick with the process? Believers, I want you to hear this, and I said it in the prayer watch over and over, but I said it different ways. We have the ability to be that which we could not conceive of being. We have the ability to be anointed. And somebody should have said amen right there. But it doesn't stop there. We have the ability, after being anointed, we have the ability to be the sent ones. He could fill us up and then send us out. He can fill us up and then send us out. But also we have the ability, Isaiah said, to be the builders of the old waste places. We can actually build places where others could be revived. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? We have the ability to be of another substance. If any man is in Christ, and I think we've read it so much, we've said it so much, we don't even realize what it's saying. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and now behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us by himself, by Jesus Christ, and given us the ministry of reconciliation. We have the ability to enter into being of a new substance. Three things. And I'll be done. You can stay the same, or you can come on with me over into Isaiah 43:18-19. You can live like the rest of this world, or you can catch a hold of a people from another world that lived another way and begin to live differently. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. You can become the kings and the priests that you've been destined to be, or you can keep being Shaquilla and Ray Ray and Mamba, and you can be all them folks that the world call you, or you can step over into being the substance that God created you to be. Three things and I'll be done. First thing is found in Titus. Topical message today, so I won't exegete the text. Look in Titus chapter number 3 and read with me if you don't mind. I'm going to show you how you can step over being of another substance. Oh, God. You don't have to keep being who you've been. God. Any man in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and now all things are being made new. You don't have to keep being who you've been. And now some of us, we want to just keep being, so we won't say nothing there. But then other of us know, I don't want to be who I've been. I'm ready to be changed. Titus chapter number 3, you have the word. If you need a Bible, just put your hand up. We have Bibles you can use while you're here. Look at Titus, because it's going to tell us point number one. Titus chapter number 3, put then in mind to be subject to the principalities and the powers, and obey magistrates, and be ready of every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be brawlers but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometime foolish. Listen, you hear what that says? It didn't say we are. It says what? Okay, you with me then. I'm glad you did. It says we were sometimes foolish, sometimes disobedient, sometimes deceived, sometimes serving divers lusts and pleasures, living to malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to the mercy by he saved. I'm reading this without that light. Oh, forgive me. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And by the washing of regeneration, that's what I'm trying to get to. And by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed us abundantly through Christ Jesus, our Savior. Point number one, we must understand the importance of the regeneration involved with salvation. How do I become of another substance? I think we overlook regeneration. I don't think we consider how important it really was. We must understand the importance of regeneration involved with salvation. And Titus 3, verse 1 through 5, it talks about we were washed with regeneration. What does the word regenerate mean? It's the act of effecting a complete moral reform. Listen, this is the definition I like, LaTanya. Regeneration means to recreate, to reconstitute, to make over, especially in a better form or condition, to revive or to produce anew. We've been reformed, we've been recreated, we've been reconstituted, we've been made over. Salvation calls the do-over to begin in our lives. You miss what I said. Salvation gave us opportunity for a do-over. God. See, some of us, Hans, we ain't appreciated that. But I needed to be washed from my miserable life of sin. I needed, amen, my mind renewed. I needed transformation. And I could not get it on my own. But here comes Jesus. Romans chapter number 1, it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. But for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We must fully embrace what took place at our salvation. Old folks, and let me see if I got any old folks in here. They tell me all the time I got a young crowd over here. See, but most of y'all don't understand. Okay, I see one old folk put their hand up. Old folks used to say it like this. I looked at my hands and they looked at new. I looked at my feet and they did too. And I know that don't make no sense to y'all, but they were not talking about literally. They was talking about figuratively. That nothing happened when they said yes to Jesus and gave God their heart and the preacher their head. They knew where I used to go. I don't want to go no more. And now something new has happened. God. Power of God unto salvation, everyone that believe it. We must embrace what took place at salvation. That Greek word for salvation, it has the connotation of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, soundness. Complete redemption through Jesus Christ. You didn't hear me. When I got saved, I got delivered. When I got saved, I moved into a posture of being safe. Now I got angels all around me, Psalms 91. I think we need to probably slow down in inviting people to salvation. And we need to let them know you ain't who you used to be. You ain't going to feel right in some old crowds. You ain't gonna feel right in some old conversations. Something happened. Regeneration happened. God went in and took stuff out of you that you have no idea. God put stuff in you that you have no idea that is now in you. Regeneration has caused another substance to be a part of our being. Oh God. Preach, Lord. We must fully embrace being saved. Y'all, please hear me. I don't care how you try to fit in the crowd. If you accepted Jesus, you don't fit in no more. I laugh at my children because sometimes my children go to school and then they come home and they tell us a story that they say, Daddy, we don't talk like them. We don't use the word they use. We don't do that at home. And I laugh at my children because on some levels they want to fit in. But I think on other levels, they're thankful that they don't fit in. Well, oh God, I don't know if y'all can hear me. I know modern church, feel easy church, feel good church, make everybody comfortable, has sort of kind of washed this out of the church. But I'm going to bring it back because he told me to ask for the old landmarks. I want you to know you ain't going to fit in. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You ain't going to fit in with the world. You ain't going to fit in with the crowd because there is something in you that happened at salvation that if they have not received your Jesus, they ain't going to understand you. One encounter, Jesus talking to them, he said, don't think it's strange that they hate you. They hated me before they hated you. Somebody said to me, we realize something powerful called regeneration happened at my salvation. Throw your hands up and say hallelujah.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.